along to the assist sponsored by Free Super Tips. I'm Warren Ashurst, and joining me for this Champions League semi-final special are Liam Flynn and James Milton. We have two previous winners, of course, of the Champions League still in the last four, and two teams looking for a first European Cup remaining in the competition. And we've got the first legs to look forward to in midweek. We'll get to the games themselves in a bit, but let's firstly look at the outright and top goal scorer odds. And we'll start off with looking at the outright odds now. We've reached the last four. Barcelona, not surprisingly really, are 2-1 favourites to go on and lift the trophy. PSG, 9-4. Arsenal, 5-2. And Inter Milan, 9-2. James, a quick word from you on terms of those outright odds. Is it probably a fair reflection that Barcelona are the strong favourites?
I think so, yeah. I mean, it's obviously heavily influenced by the draw and, you know, that PSG-Arsenal tie that we're going to come on to in a moment just looks so tight. And Barcelona are seen as having the easier semi-final against Inter. You know, I think probably even after Inter qualified from the quarterfinals, you looked at their price outright and thought, you know, is that a bit big? But they've hit a real flat spot since then. And that should play into Barcelona's hands. You know, the concern over Barca is, you know, with this expansive style of play, are they going to get caught out or will they just go all the way, kind of believing that they can outscore their opponents, you know, whatever happens. But yeah, I think Barca, given Inter's recent struggles, are worthy favourites at the moment.
Liam, Milt's mentioned there in terms of Inter's form in the league. Is league performance is something that you have to seriously consider going into this? I mean, look at PSG. They've lost a couple of games recently, but of course the title's already wrapped up in France.
Yeah, I definitely think it is, because at the end of the day, it's a defeat's a defeat and it's going to have an impact on the morale of that team. And I know a lot of people will say, well, PSG have already wrapped up the title, but they were looking to, you know, go unbeaten for the entire season. They've obviously lost that now. They lost to Nice, so they'll certainly the stakes were still high for them in those league games. I definitely think Inter, for me, you know, that is really put off by them, by their current form. I think it is exciting because there are cases that can be made for all four semi-finalists. I mean, Barca are arguably the best attacking team on the planet. PSG have looked so cohesive and pulled off some really big wins. Arsenal were excellent over both legs against Real Madrid. And Inter have typically been a tough nut to crack throughout this competition from a defensive point of view. But I don't know. I think, like I say, with Inter, the way they've gone off the boil with, you know, three straight defeats against Bologna, Milan and Roma, they've got a very kind of small squad comparatively, and have that's shown in the latter stages of this competition in the way they've been trying to juggle multiple competitions. So I think for me, it would be one of the other three. And I think Barca are appropriate favourites because they most definitely have the easier semi-final.
OK, well, let's look at the top goal scorer odds now, with Serhou Guirassy at the top with 13 goals to his name and currently 6-5. To claim the top goal scorer award, but Rafinha 10-11, just one goal behind him, the Barcelona man, with Robert Lewandowski on 11 at 11-2. With, of course, the Polish international set to miss both legs of the semi final against Inter Milan. Lautaro Martinez of Inter has 8 goals to his name and is 25-1. And then you're looking at Ousmane Dembele as big as 40-1 with 7 goals to his name. Milt, if you were looking at the betting in terms of value here, would you be tempted into somebody?
It's a tricky betting heat, really. I mean, I think the only one you'd be looking at is Rafinha, you know, one behind, but obviously potentially got three more games to go with Serhou Guirassy, whose hat-trick took him to the top of the scoring charts, hat-trick against Barcelona in the quarterfinals. But, you know, he's out of the running now. And you know, Rafinha looks like he can land the golden boot, particularly with Lewandowski ruled out. I think the others, you know, Martinez has been in excellent form. I think he's scored in his last 5 Champions League games. But, you know, you're looking at him to score two goals, a hat-trick against Barcelona in this tie, and for Inter to get through. So I think there's too big a gap. And it looks, you know, Rafinha score a couple of goals in potentially 3 more games. I think probably 10-11 is a fair price about him.
Would you agree with that, Liam? And would you also agree that Lewandowski's absence could be an important factor for Barcelona?
Yeah, I'd echo exactly what Mil said. I think we pretty much had the same notes there. Because, I think for Rafinha is the only one you might maybe make a case for. But I can't say it's a market I'd want to be getting involved with at this stage of the competition. Maybe if you fancy Lewandowski to bag a hat trick in a final if he's fit and Barca make it through. But otherwise, I think, you know, it's quite obviously, it's not an ideal market. And the Lewandowski absence obviously is going to, you know, isn't ideal for Barca. But of all the teams that you could maybe take their kind of leading man out of, I think, you know, they've got so many goals across that front line. Lamine Yamal and especially Rafinha in the Champions League this season. I mean, both of them have been obviously in the goals, so I don't think it will hurt them too much.
Okay, well, that's the outright and top goal scorer odds. Next up, it's the best bets for the two semi-final first legs.
Do you want football free bets? All the best offers from your favourite bookmakers can be found in one place. Check out racingpost.com/free-bets to find out more. Racing Post, stay ahead of the field.
Well, we'll start off, of course, in chronological order on Tuesday evening with a big game at the Emirates where Arsenal prepare to take on Paris Saint-Germain. In terms of the prices, Arsenal 23-20 to claim the victory. It's 5-2 PSG and 23-10 the draw. Miltz, we'll start with you with this one. Arsenal unbeaten in the Champions League at the Emirates since March 2017. I know they've had a bit of time out of the Champions League in between that time as well, but certainly, a home form could well be crucial in their hopes here of making the final.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Emirates has been a European fortress for Arsenal over the past two seasons in the Champions League. They won 9 of their 11 games to nil. And the two exceptions were a 2-2 draw against Bayern Munich in last season's quarterfinals and a draw with PSV this season when they won the away leg 7-1 and rested plenty of star players. And, you know, so convincing against Real Madrid in that first leg. You know, obviously, they needed a couple of stunning free kicks from Declan Rice and a great goal from Marino to get past Thibaut Courtois. But they created so many chances. And I just feel the midfield battle was absolutely key in that game against Real. I'm just not sure they're going to be able to dominate to anywhere near that extent against PSG, particularly with Thomas Partey injured. And Marino, I think, is a fitness doubt. Might have to move Rice into a more defensive role, which kind of reduces Arsenal's attacking thrust. And you just look at that PSV side; they're so settled. Had a lovely build up to this tie, having, you know, they clinched the league about 3 weeks ago. And that midfield three of Fabian Ruiz, Vitinha, and João Neves just looks very, very strong to me.
And talking about, you know, recent performances between these two teams, Liam. Obviously, they faced off each other in the league. I was going to say the group stage, but of course, the league format now, of course, when the Gunners won 2-1 back in October. I don't suppose we can probably learn too much from that, can we? Because Arsenal have got players missing who were featuring then, and PSG are just a completely different team in different form now.
Yeah, I think it's in some ways it's night and day compared to how PSG were playing at the start of the season to how they performed since then. But ultimately, it's going to have some kind of, you know, mental element to it. And I think Arsenal will definitely be buoyed by that win because they know they've beaten this opposition already this season at the Emirates, regardless of how different they've been since then. And I don't know, I think, you know, from a experience point of view, I do have some concerns over this Paris Saint-Germain side in kind of these latter stages compared to Arsenal.
Mills, do you think there's any less of an impact in terms of having the second leg at home now that we haven't got the away goal rule? Is that quite as important still?
I think so, yeah. I mean, having said that, bookmakers obviously still rate home advantage as a big factor. You know, Arsenal are clear favourites to win against PSG at the Emirates, but outsiders to qualify. And that was the same against Real Madrid. You know, they were well fancied to win the home leg, but 6-4 to qualify. I think they were about 4-1 to win at the Bernabeu, which obviously they did late on. But having said that, you know, both of these teams have produced some superb away performances in Europe this season. You know, Arsenal thrashed PSV 7-1 when they were really struggling for goals in the Premier League. And then obviously went and closed out the tie really impressively against Real. And PSG, as we saw in the last 16, you know, overturning a 1-0 deficit at Liverpool at Anfield when, you know, everyone thought that Liverpool had nicked a crucial advantage in the first leg. And PSV were worthy winners there, you know, even though it went to penalties, they really did deserve to go through there.
I mean, Mills mentions worthy winners, Liam. I mean, the fact that they've seen off two Premier League teams already, this is their third trip to England, suggests that PSG would be worthy winners if they went all the way.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, potentially beating three Premier League opponents en route would be a massive achievement. I think you do just have to look at those kind of the nature of those performances. Of course, with the, you know, the Liverpool game, the first leg. I mean, how on earth they, you know, how on earth Liverpool obviously got the win in that game, I do not know. And but then the second leg, I think there was arguments that it was kind of a bit of a flip. So I think, yeah, there were big results, but and then obviously with Aston Villa, they, you know, they could have scored a lot more at the Parc des Princes in the first leg. Second leg, obviously, there was a little bit of complacency that set in, and obviously they went on to lose that. So whilst they're incredible results on paper, there's still elements of the Paris Saint-Germain performances that would make me a little bit uneasy about maybe backing them at this stage.
Okay, well, we'll get the best bets now of the guys, starting with you, James, in terms of what you fancy for this clash, the first leg between Arsenal and PSG.
Yeah, I've got a couple of bets in this one. As I mentioned, the midfield battle, I'm going for PSG draw, no bet. I just think Arsenal, you know, they've achieved so much over the past three seasons under Arteta, but that's still, when they're missing a key player, and Thomas Partey is a key player for them this season, they can struggle. You know, it doesn't take much for their levels to drop a bit. And I think that midfield battle will be crucial, and I'm not quite sure they're going to be able to dominate as they did against Real. You know, you mentioned PSG's knocking out Liverpool and Villa. They also beat Manchester City in the league phase 4-2, absolutely hammered them, admittedly at home. But I think PSG will be really up for this trip, and yeah, I think they can improve on their league phase results at the Emirates. The other bet I like is Ashraf Hakimi to have two or more shots. You know, you look at the way PSG defended a 3-1 first leg lead at Villa Park. You know, some teams would look to sit on that. Both PSG fullbacks scored in the first half hour of the second leg. And Hakimi got the first one. That was his second goal in the Champions League. He's also had a couple disallowed for tight offsides. And he's had at least two shots in all six of PSG's Champions League games against English clubs this season, including the league phase defeat at Arsenal.
This looks like it's probably, in my thoughts, Liam, a must-win for Arsenal to be able to take an advantage of the second leg.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I mean, we saw how it changed the dynamic of the tie. Obviously, the winning, not only winning the first leg against Real Madrid, but winning it pretty comfortably in the end. And I think that will be the message from Arteta. They have to go and attack this game. I mean, PSG have been exceptional in the latter stages of this competition. As we said about the performances against Liverpool and Aston Villa, you know, the results in those games were significant. And whilst I think Luis Enrique has got this group to gel and to be so cohesive in the second half of the season, I think people are drawing conclusions from what is quite a small sample size, really, of Paris Saint-Germain performances when we're looking across those two knockout ties. The league phase, they were absolutely so incredibly underwhelming with four wins, one draw and three defeats. And of course, you can say that they are a different team to what they were then, but it's still got to be factored in. And while the likes of, you know, Desiree Due, Bradley Barcola, Joao Neves, William Pacho, you know, very good young technical players with a bright future, they don't have the experience of playing in these kinds of games. They don't have the experience of these big fixtures. If you look at the kind of opponents they're playing week in, week out in Ligue 1, you know, there is, you've got to factor that in. Whereas Arsenal, of course, you know, pretty much have their A game every single week in the Premier League. And I know that might be a bit of a lazy argument, but I do think it's something really significant when you're talking about Paris Saint-Germain. Probably part of the reason that they faltered so much in past seasons in the latter stages. And they did show real complacency in that second leg against Aston Villa. They switched off. And I think that's something that they, you know, could be a little bit guilty of because of the nature of what they're playing week in, week out. Obviously, recently they drew with Nantes, they lost to Nice. And again, the league title was wrapped up, but there was the opportunity to go unbeaten in the season. So there's certainly reason to fight in those games. I think the other big factor is the goals have really dried up for Ousmane Dembele recently, not being as prolific as he was, obviously, in those first couple of months of the season of the year. And Arsenal have just been so good at the Emirates in the Champions League season. Five wins in their six home games, five clean sheets as well. Very solid at the back. There were concerns about Jakub Kivior coming in for Gabriel, but he did so well across those two legs against Real Madrid. Appreciate the argument, obviously, about Thomas Partey. Definitely something to consider. But hopefully, if there's a possibility Mikel Merino is available, it depends, obviously, how he's, you know, his condition. But if he's available, I think if he slots in there and you play Trossard through the middle with Martinelli and Saka either side, I still think Arsenal got a very, very good chance. So in terms of a bet, I think it's 3-1 Arsenal to win by one goal is a really good approach, because I think if Arsenal do win this game, it's not going to be like that Real Madrid first leg where they're necessarily going to blow PSG out of the water. But I definitely think they can get over the line. I think they've got the capacity to win this. So yeah, Arsenal to win by a single goal, 3-1 is the bet for me.
It's definitely a fascinating tie. The first leg then between Arsenal and PSG at the Emirates. An 8 o'clock kickoff on Tuesday. And then we have to wait 24 hours later for the second semi-final first leg as Barcelona prepare to take on Inter Milan. Barca 3-5 to claim the victory, as big as 4-1 Inter Milan, and the draw 16-5. Liam, we'll start with you with this one. 3-3 when the two teams last met. You have to go back a couple of years for that, but potential for another goal-scoring feast this time round when you consider Barca's attacking threat and the likes of Lautaro Martinez and Thuram for Inter Milan as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a case of, what as they say, unstoppable force versus a movable object. It's definitely a case of, you know, that swashbuckling Barcelona attack against an Inter team who've defended very, very well in the Champions League this season. Not entirely sure about the situation with Marcus Thuram at the moment, because obviously he has had a bit of an issue recently and been sidelined, which I think is something that's going to potentially hinder Inter as well. Of course, they've got Lautaro Martinez, who's a very good player as well. But I think, yeah, of the two semi-finals, this is most definitely the more straightforward to call, I think.
Well, very much, Liam, in the Barcelona camp, I'd suggest, Milt. But in terms of, you know, if you're looking for Inter Milan maybe to pull off a surprise here, how much of an impact does the game not being at the Nou Camp have? Because obviously having that intimidating atmosphere has been something which has been huge for Barcelona in previous European campaigns.
Yeah, I mean, they seem to be coping pretty well. Obviously, this is, you know, almost two seasons they've been away from Camp Nou. So they've had plenty of time to get used to it. Yeah, they've had three straight home defeats in La Liga just before Christmas. Since then, they've won 8 and drawn 1, scored 27 goals in those 9 games. And just looking at their last home game, actually, they have 40 shots to Mallorca's 4 in a 1-0 La Liga victory. So I don't think it will be too much of an influence on the tie. I mean, you know, even looking at their Champions League results, they thrashed Bayern Munich 4-1 in the league phase, and obviously beat by Borussia Dortmund 4-0 in the quarterfinals. So no, I can't see. I think Inter may be clutching at straws if they're looking at that angle. Really,
they have gone under the radar, Inter Milan, a little bit. They've lost just one of 12 Champions League games this season. But as we touched upon earlier, Liam, their form in the league will be a bit of a concern going into this.
Yeah, I think so. And I think when you look at the state of their squad, it was kind of inevitable there was going to be this drop-off at this stage of the season. I was looking, and interestingly, they've used just 25 players in Serie A this season, which is the fewest in the division. And obviously, when you're a team that are going deep in the Coppa Italia, Serie A, and the Champions League, that squad is going to be stretched. That squad is going to be put to the test. And I think that is really starting to show now, because I just think that it's an aging group as well. I don't know what the average age of this squad is off the top of my head, but it's quite an old squad. And like I say, with a lack of depth there, it's certainly catching up to them. So whilst their performances have been good, they've got some really good results. I just think they're running out of steam at the wrong time of the season.
Mills, do you think there's an argument to be made that both of these two teams will feel they've got a really big chance in the final, whoever goes through, bearing in mind that they're up against teams who have never won the tournament before?
I think so, yeah. I mean, you know, the European pedigree of these teams are obviously superior to Arsenal's and PSG's. I'm not sure. I mean, I think, you know, the strength of the Premier League and obviously the talent in that PSG squad means that, you know, they're certainly not going to be taken lightly, whoever gets through that tie. And as Liam mentioned, yeah, I think Inter's record probably this season in the Champions League is a little bit flattering. You know, I'm not sure how relevant it is, you know, keeping clean sheets against Sparta Prague and Young Boys and Red Star Belgrade when you're going in to face Barcelona or PSG or even Arsenal. And you know, I mean, they drew 0-0 at Manchester City on match day one. City obviously went on to have a shocking start to the season. And they beat Arsenal 1-0 at home as well, but the Gunners were missing Martin Odegaard and Declan Rice for that game. So I think Inter have had quite a soft run through to this stage. You know, the Feyenoord in the last 16 was a really nice draw, and they rode their luck a little bit about against Bayern. You know, Harry Kane hitting the post with that great chance at 0-0 in the first leg. So, yeah, I'm not sure Inter, even if they do get past Barca, can be taking anyone lightly, really.
Well, having said all that, we'll have a look at the best bets from both guys now. Liam, we'll start with you. What's your suggestion for this second semi-final?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Barcelona to win and under 3.5 goals. I think it's quite a nice price around sort of 17 to 10 mark. Obviously, we've spoken about Inter and how they've kind of gone off the boil. Obviously, that 3-0 defeat to Milan in the second leg of the Coppa Italia semi-finals would have really hurt. Either side of that, lost to Bologna and Roma, meaning they're winless in their last four games. Remember, this is an Inter team who have been, you know, pushing for the Serie A title this season. So, really concerning from them. Obviously, I touched on the fact that Marcus Thuram's been out recently. Major blow, given I think he's as important, arguably, as Lautaro Martinez in that attack. As for Barcelona, I mean, they've got the unfathomable quadruple potentially on the cards this season, having won the Spanish Super Cup and the Copa del Rey, lead the way in La Liga, and obviously are favourites in this competition. I'm actually thinking the quadruple is looking more like a potentially even a probability rather than a possibility at this stage because they're in such a strong position. Obviously, Lewandowski being out is a blow, but Rafinha and Lamine Yamal are so good, scored 16 goals between them in the Champions League this season. They also have goals from midfield, Dani Olmo, etc. as well. I mean, Barca unbeaten in 14 home games. They look right at home at the Estadi Luis Companys as well. And as we said, Inter, of course, racked up 8 clean sheets in this Champions League season. But as Milt said, the kind of players, the teams that they've been coming across, you know, it does skew that statistic slightly. That said, I think Inter will definitely keep it much tighter than Dortmund did in the away leg. So I think Barca to win under 3.5 is the way to go. If you are after a player bet in this game, I actually think Rafinha to score first at 6-1. It's pretty appealing, given this is probably going to be quite a low-scoring game. I say that it could be going to be a 5-2 to Barca now, but based on, you know, Barca's history and it with Inter, I think it could be a low-scoring match. And Rafinha scored 12 times in the Champions League already this season. No Lewandowski. It's going to be a little bit more pressure on his shoulders. So, yeah, I think it'll be a low-scoring win for Barca.
James, I think you are in agreement that this is Barca's to win.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, Lewandowski has had a phenomenal season considering his age. You know, 36 goals in 41 starts in the league and the Champions League. But as Liam mentioned earlier in the show, you know, Barca have got so many attacking options. And I just think, you know, talking about that ageing Inter squad, Barca have got these young, pacey, slick players who are really coming into top form. And I like the look of a 3-1 Barcelona win, actually, at a nice price in the correct score market. You know, Rafinha and Lamal, absolutely terrific all season. Pedri looks back to his best in midfield. And, you know, they had that Copa del Rey final victory over Real Madrid at the weekend as well. You know, usually going to extra time might be considered a negative, but I think, you know, the adrenaline, the emotion of that victory can only spur them on. And then Inter played Roma the following day. Just looking at the stats from that game, Roma had 30% possession, had 7 shots on target to Inter's 2. And I think that kind of sums up where Inter are at the moment. You know, Thuram, if he misses out, is a huge blow. Benjamin Pavard, key defender, was injured as well. And yeah, I think Barca probably know they have the beating of Inter in an open game, and I expect them to go for it. So yeah, 3-1 Barcelona win for me.
Okay, well, double backing of Barcelona in the second semi-final. Just a reminder, that is on Wednesday night with an 8 o'clock kickoff UK time. Well, that's all from us. Thanks very much to both James and Liam for their input. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment on the Racing Post YouTube channel. And if you like your golf, don't miss the Sweet Spot with Steve Palmer every Tuesday. Steve and Dave Clark will be back again this week. Looking forward to events on both the PGA Tour and the LIV Tour. We'll be back on Thursday to preview the Premier League and EFL weekend action. But until then, enjoy your midweek European football and please remember to gamble responsibly.